Hello and welcome to this podcast series where we ponder on God's personhood. I'm your host Natalia and we're in part 4 of this series today. Wow, we're halfway through the series and we'd love to hear from you. You can comment or write to us at pstjeremy@gmail.com. So Pastor Jeremy, how has this been for you while you've prepared for this series?
Hi Nat, good to be back. Yeah, it has been a deeply moving experience looking at the names of God or the titles that we give God in approaching Him. And with every title, you just want to even find a prayer, you know, to respond to or to relate to God in that capacity. And I can't wait to see and hear what people have to say about it because God is to be known in so many ways. He is multi-faced, multifaceted, and His wisdom is amazing. So as we search the wisdom of God, the personhood of God, ponder on the personhood of God, I'm sure we're going to come out with some very, very insightful truths of who God is. And all that must, of course, translate to a deeper relationship with Him. I mean, what's the point of knowing so much about Him if you can't relate to Him in that matter? And in that moment, when we come through, let's say, pain, or when we come through an accident, or we come through a major loss, if we cannot come to know God, if we cannot relate to Him in the capacity in which He has revealed Himself to us, then even this study is a waste. So this is where I really hope that people are beginning to revisit some of the traumas, difficulties, difficult times, memories, and begin to say, oh, okay, maybe I didn't know God at that time when I went through that, but today I can know Him as I revisit some of those memories and reconstruct my life and my definitions of success, my understanding of personhood, my understanding of personal value. It's just wonderful to know that God is all of these things to us.
Yeah, so last time we focused on the Lord who heals, Jehovah Rapha. So what aspect are we studying today?
All right, today let's look at Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi. Nissi means banner. God is our banner. The Lord is my banner. You'll find this in Exodus chapter 17, verse 15. The Lord is my banner. Moses built an altar and he named it Jehovah Nissi after they gained victory in a fierce battle with Amalek. I don't know if you know the story, and the story is not important at this point, but there was a situation where Moses had to have his hands lifted high, and he had to raise the banner, and as long as that was happening, they were winning, and Moses then built an altar there, called it Jehovah Nissi, that is, God is our banner. Because of the cross of Christ, because of what Jesus did on the cross, God has seated us in victory over the enemies of our soul. He has seated us in victory over the enemies of our spirit. We are safe in Him. We have victory. Victory is a possibility. It's not a stop and go. It's not sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. That's a life philosophy that doesn't belong in God's vocabulary, in God's throne, in God's way of dealing, in His economy. God wins. Every single time God wins. And then now He's given us, He's shared with us the capacity to have that winning. But I have to bring this to your notice that when we talk about Jehovah Nissi and when we talk about Exodus, a lot of the time it has to do with actual battle, real enemies, political enemies, militant enemies. And in that regard, the nation of Israel knew God as one who fought for them, one who went ahead of them. In fact, you know, the banner was an actual banner, and it wasn't the soldiers that were up in front. It were the band, per se, that actually sang victory, just like Jericho, if you remember that. They sang victory. They sang songs of victory. They went ahead of the soldiers. They went ahead of the army. And in front of the band, in front of the worshipers, were people who held up banners. Today, you may have flags, or you may have kind of like the Crusaders, but you have those big sheets of logos and things like that. But in those days, it was the banner. And He wanted us to have that picture in our mind, as if we were going to war with life, you know, and God was going ahead of us. And could you make that parallel? Absolutely. Because God and His character, as we ponder the personhood of God, is like that. He's one who goes ahead of us. He makes our path straight for us. He fights our battles for us. Now, God's not saying you have enemies and I'm going to destroy them. He's not, asking you to pray destruction on people you hate or you dislike. This is a given situation for the nation of Israel where there were actual borders, actual wars, and actual enemies. But even in that regard, God was their banner. David knew this personally. King David, he knew this more than anybody else. He ruled and reigned, bringing all the enemies of Israel to silence and to their demise. And then he had peaceful reign for 40 years. And he writes Psalm 23. And down through Psalm 23 in verse 5, you hear him say, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. That means while enemies are all around, I can sit and eat. I can fellowship. I can be at peace. I can break bread. You set a table of food, of provision for me right at the time when people are threatening, people are surrounding, people are attacking. And that was David's experience. Similarly, David wrote a psalm. He handed that to the chief musician for the temple use. And as the servant of the Lord, who spake to the Lord the words of this song on the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies, especially from the hand of Saul, David said this in Psalm 18, verse 1 and 2. He says, "I love you, Lord, my strength. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord, he is my rock, he is my fortress, and he is my deliverer. He is my rock that's underneath me. He is my fortress that's around me, and he is my deliverer that's above me. My God, my strength in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." Just look at the metaphors, look at the pictures he uses to describe God. My strength, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. So when you say God is my banner, this kind of, involves all of these aspects, because God goes to fight for you. He goes to war for you. He goes ahead of you. So he's your defense. He is your greatest defense. And when you say he's my God, my strength, it's not that he's a strength to you. It is that you have found strength in him. It's not that he is your God. It's that you are his worshiper. You are his faithful follower. You're the one who has chosen to trust him. So he says, "My God, my strength, in whom I will trust." So there's a intentionality there. God isn't just everyone's protector. God isn't just a rampart or a shield or a stronghold or a strength to any and everyone. You've got to put your faith in him. You've got to trust in him. So David writes a song about it. He hands it over to the chief musician so that the whole temple can sing it. The entire band and orchestra can play it as people walk in and echo the words and the truths of these verses. Let me take you to Psalm 3, verse 3. "But you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You are a shield around me. You are my glory, the one who holds my head high." The one who holds my head high. You're the one who gives me confidence. You're the one because of which I can stand up. I can stand up strong. I can stick my chest out. I can hold my chin up. You're the reason. My confidence is in you. You're like a shield all around me. Then Psalm 18, verse 2, it says, "The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress, my savior. He is my rock in whom I find protection." Psalm 18, verse 2, "The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress. He's my savior, my God, my rock in whom I find protection." So going back to his name, Jehovah Nissi, the title we give to God here, is because God fights our battles for us. God goes ahead of us. It's his fighting strength. It's his maneuvers. It's his wisdom. It's his strategy that I put my trust in. Thank God I'm not facing off with my enemies on my own. God goes ahead of me. So, understanding God as Jehovah Nissi reminds believers that he is their protector and defender in spiritual battles. Just as Moses held up the banner of God during the battle against the Amalekites, God fights for his people. Trusting in Jehovah Nissi strengthens my faith and reliance on God's sovereignty in all circumstances. Heavenly Father, what area of our life do we need to call on your strength? Where are we losing the battle? Where are we fighting the battle on our own when you are there for us, Lord? What battles have left us depleted? What battles have left us with no ammunition? Where our strength and our resources have finished, they've been used up. Father, I pray that we would find you as our Jehovah Nissi, our stronghold, our protector, our fortress, our rock, our shield, our deliverer. We would find in you the protection that we need. Protection from our enemies, not in so much that we can fight them, but we allow you to fight them. So that while you are fighting them, we are sitting at the table that you have set for us, right there in the presence of our enemies. So thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that you fight for us. Father, I pray for those of us who are fighting with you. I pray for those of us who are still in a fight with you, for your existence, for your laws, for your sovereign rule in our life. We're still struggling at that level. Bring us to a peaceful and joyful surrender so that we may know you as our strength, our deliverer, and our fortress. Thank you, Father God, for hearing and answering our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next podcast.